Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At 12 minutes after 9 o'clock, Michael Gray from the Country Music Hall of Fame. Welcome backstage to the Grand Ole Opry.
Thank you. Good morning, Bill. Good morning, Charlie.
You've joined us in a number of spots along the way over the years, mainly at your home, the Country Music Hall of Fame. Is this your first opportunity? I think it is, isn't it, to join us backstage at the Opry House?
Yeah, what a treat. It's actually my first time back here since the flood, so it's neat to see the way they've redone everything. It's beautiful.
As you and our special guest, songwriter Hall of Famer, has got a star in the Walk of Fame with Buddy Holly's Crickets. So, Sonny Curtis, as you guys were making your way in, did you find yourself just almost enraged with jealousy that Charlie Mattis was a performing member of Riders in the Sky on Cool, Clear Water? Not so much. Okay, fine. Good to see you. Tell me about Poets and Prophets first, and then we're going to meet this fellow who is the guest of honor.
Yeah, well, Poets and Prophets is a quarterly series that we've been doing over at the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum for 5 years. In fact, Saturday's event with the legendary songwriter Sonny Curtis will mark the 5th anniversary of the series.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's a bit of a milestone for us, but really it gives us a chance at the Hall of Fame to honor these great songwriters, and I interview them for about 90 minutes and they perform, and afterwards they meet the public and sign posters that commemorate the day, and Sonny's case, he's bringing some CDs that we'll sell, and he's happy to sign those. But it gives us a chance to get an oral history that we preserve in our archives forever with these legendary songwriters, while also giving us an opportunity to honor their achievements.
Sonny Curtis, welcome.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are in the presence of greatness with this man who is in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. And
thank you very much.
First introduction to Buddy Holly. Where did you guys first meet?
We met at his house in Lubbock, Texas. A friend of mine, I live down in Meadow, which is a farming community about 30 miles away, and a friend of mine Olin Finley, moved to Lubbock and went to school with Buddy and Bob Montgomery, and he came back down to Meadow telling me about it, and so we were sort of friends before we met, and he took us up there one day and took us to Buddy's house, and Bob Montgomery was there. We said hello, shook hands, and got our guitars and started picking straight off.
Is that right?
Yeah. And no small talk.
And the original Crickets comprised of?
Well, the original Crickets was Joe B. Malden, Jerry Allison, and Buddy Holly. I was in the group, The Three Tunes. That was before the Crickets, and as I say in one of my songs, I grew up and had to go out and make a living. Slim Whitman came through town and offered me a gig, which only lasted about 15 minutes, but I jumped at it.
Is that right?
Buddy and J.I. formed the Crickets, and there you are.
Now you're a part of the fabric of American music.
I joined back up with the Crickets about 1958.
And what would Buddy, as you think about him and having known him well, what would he think about the success and the legacy that he left without ever having any idea? Or did he have some idea of his popularity? Or
well, I don't know. That's a hard question. I know that Buddy was real confident, and he always thought he was going to make it big, and he certainly did. And he pumped a whole lot of music into the system in a short 18-month period before he died. But I think he would be enthralled by it all.
Yeah.
And he loved music, and Music has done well since.
Now, the Crickets have a star in the Music City Walk of Fame. We talk about you being at the Hall of Fame for Poets and Prophets tomorrow, just across the way there between the Country Music Hall of Fame and the Hilton in that Hilton Garden area, the Quadrangle Hall of Fame Park. Is a star that bears the names of the Crickets, and you and I were just laughing about your recollection of that day a couple of years ago when you got your star.
Oh, yeah. As I told you, I was fried because the Crickets had played the night before in Pennsylvania somewhere. I can't remember the town. But we, and then after the gig, we had about a two-hour drive back to Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, wherever. And I got no sleep. We had an early morning flight and came to Nashville, and of course then that happened. And I couldn't say my name.
A 2012 inductee to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Michael Gray, pick up this man's story a little bit for folks here in the audience and what they will know as a part of the musical core of their catalog as listeners and fans that this man has written and been a part of.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so many people know Sonny for his association with Buddy Holly. And during the Poets and Prophets program, we'll be talking a lot about Buddy, and he gave us some great photos, and we'll be playing audio recordings of songs they, you know, made together. But then, you know, Sonny, you know, after Buddy died in 1959, you know, Sonny went on to write all these great, incredible songs that everybody knows. Songs like "I Fought the Law" and "The Law Won," and
that's got the greatest opening line, I got to tell you. "Breaking rocks in the hot sun," and then he immediately is contrition. "I fought the law, but the law won." It was as if to say, it was a great idea at the time.
Unless you're the dead Kennedys, and they said, "I fought the law and I won."
Yeah, I mean, that song's become a punk anthem for the Clash and all kinds of
people. Yeah,
all kinds
yeah
of people.
That's right. Yeah. Bobby Fuller 4.
Yes.
Oh, and we've got a great video of them doing the song that we're going to show on Saturday at the museum.
Oh,
it's
man.
Terrific. But to answer your question, too, I mean, Sonny wrote, you know, he went on to write songs like "Walk Right Back" for the Everly Brothers, "I'm No Stranger to the Rain" by Keith Whitley. And then, of course, you know, the theme song to the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
All right. And I think back at the studio, Kevin Anderson, if you will, we want to listen to it in its entirety, and we'll all sing along here in the green room of the Grand Ole Opry House. Would you, Kev? You have access to it there, buddy? Well, we'll get to it here in just a moment, but just continue.
Yeah, well, you wrote more than I can say.
Here it comes. Oh, yeah. When does she throw her hat?
How will you make it on your own? This world is awfully big. Girl, this time you're all alone. But it's time you started living. It's time you let someone else do some giving. Love is all around, no need to waste it.
And then on the closing theme, we got
meow.
And then the Mary Tyler Moore Productions would come up. And the little kitty cat there at the end. So before you continue with his incredible accomplishments, we were just talking off the air how themes used to be so much of what we look forward to in watching our favorite television shows. And now not so much anymore, because a lot of it's just instrumental. There isn't a vocal theme to a show. But where did that come from? That is the sweetest melody.
Oh.
And did you write it as a theme, or was it written as a song?
I wrote it as a theme. A friend of mine who worked for the Williams and Price Agency, Doug Gilmore, who lives here in Nashville now, he called me one day about 11 o'clock, told me that they were going to do a sitcom with Mary Tyler Moore, and would I be interested in writing a theme? And I said, sure. He dropped off a little four-page format at lunch, during his lunch break, and by 2 o'clock I had it written, and I called and said, who do I sing this to? And he sent me over to see James L. Brooks at CBS, and it kind of developed from there. It all happened in about a half a day.
So, no kidding.
So, James L. Brooks was actually a little cold when I walked in. It's a big studio over to CBS, you know,
they used to show it on Gunsmoke right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Those big buildings. Anyway, it kind of reminded me of a basketball gymnasium, but nothing in there except a black telephone on the floor. And he had a couple of iron-backed chairs brought in, and I got my guitar out, and he said, well, we're not near it to this stage of choosing a theme song, but play me what you got. And so I played it to him, and he said, play that again. And so before I left, the room was full of people standing around the wall, and he said, bring me a cassette in here. I want to take this back to Minneapolis with me this weekend. And
how about that?
And that version that you heard there, I think I couldn't hear it very well, but I think that was the first year. Now, how will you make it on your own? And at the end of that first year, they came to me and said, she's obviously made it. You've got to change it. And that's when I came up with, who can turn the world on with her smile? And that, so there you are.
Do you know Mary Tyler Moore?
I do, yeah. Don't know her very well, but we've, you know, got together on a few occasions.
Is there a day that goes by in television that doesn't air someplace? The Mary Tyler Moore Show seems to me to just kind of live in infamy.
I think my friend in Australia tells me it's still going down there.
Well, I'll be blunt. Does your royalty check reflect that it is still on the air most every day everywhere?
I still get royalties.
Well, we played it twice this morning. Check it, okay?
I'll check it.
You have your accountant check that.
It takes about a year, I think.
All right, Michael, and pick up the catalog story from that point in time.
Well, there's so many other songs. I guess the main one that we haven't mentioned yet is More Than I Can Say, which was originally, you know, a hit for Bobby V, but then I think a lot of people know it best by Leo Sayer, giant pop hit, you know, in, I think, 1980. But, I mean, the guy, he started, you know, he wrote the first song that was ever recorded first song by Sonny that was recorded was Buddy Holly, Rockin' Around with Ollie V, you know, in 1956. By the time he was 20, Webb Pierce, you know, had recorded one of his songs called Someday. I mean, so it just goes on from 1956 on, you know, to this day.
To the present, yeah. Poets and Prophets. I always ask the guys who are part of this series, how do you see yourself, more poet or prophet?
Well, I'm a poet for profit.
I don't think we've ever had that answer. A poet for profit. All right. Sonny Curtis, if you just joined us this morning, and Michael, set the stage for what time people can join you tomorrow and how that all unfolds.
Yeah, the program starts at 1:30 p.m. sharp at the Country Music Hall of Fame in our Ford Theater. It's free with museum admission or free to our members. It lasts about 90 minutes, and then afterwards, Sonny will be happy to sign autographs, posters, CDs, and all that. So it'll be a special day with performances and audio and video and he loaned us tons of great photos, you know, dating back to his childhood, and it's just gonna be a real special day. A lot of the previous Poets and Prophets honorees will be there, you know, especially being at the 5th anniversary. I know Dallas Frazier and John D. Loudermilk and Bobby Braddock and people like that have been telling me that they're going to be there. So,
oh, wonderful.
Should be a special day.
Play a little something into the break for us this morning. What do you feel like playing?
I'm so lonesome. mind so lonesome every day.
That kind of stuff will put you in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, won't it? Sonny
Thank
Curtis.
You.
We'll be right back. In the Green Room at the Grand Ole Opry House at 926.
Coffee, country, and Cody.
Well, aren't you a big steaming pile of pancakes?
You never know what Bill's going to say next.
Let us begin.
650 AM, WSM.
Down. I used to call my second home. It's a place I go just to get away when I wanted to be alone. Well, early one morning had a fight with my darling. Went from bad to worse. It ended when she said your second home just became your first. Now the jukebox is my alarm clock. I wake up in a corner booth. I don't have a tab, don't need no cab, cause the dance floor's my living room. Well, I might die from a broken heart, but I'll never die of thirst. Now that my second home has become my first. Some stay until the break of dawn. I can paint the town without leaving the house. I can feel good till it hurts. Now that my home sweet second home just became my first. Now the jukebox is my alarm clock. I wake up in a corner booth. My living room. Well, I might die from a broken heart, but I'll never die of thirst. Now that my second home has become my first. Lord, now that my second home has become my first.
WSM. We're the station that set the stage for all the others.
Hockey talk heroes like me.
650 AM, WSM.
Law and
fought the law and it won. 650 AM WSM. And the fellow who wrote that song, and Charlie Matos was just impressing the audience. I mean, their eyes were rolling back in their head, and many of them were thinking about throwing themselves to their death off the stage of the Opry if he didn't stop a little bit ago, of all the people who had recorded that great song. And you said you loved Hank Williams Jr.'s version of it?
Hank Jr.'s version, I think, is my favorite. It's supposed to be country, but he really rocked it, man.
He doesn't say that because I said to say that. He feels it, brother, I tell you that.
Sonny Curtis is with us. He is a part of the Poets and Prophets series in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, a member of the Crickets going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and you don't have a whole lot of details other than they've told you you've been inducted.
It came out in the paper.
Has it made it to your hometown of Meadow, Texas for the local paper there, you think?
Oh, yeah, man. I got a brother and a sister down there. They spread the news.
To all how many residents?
Meadow's about 400, maybe 500 now. It's 408 when I was growing up.
Well, I'm sure the town found out. The entire town knew by lunchtime.
If anybody knows, the entire town knows.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michael. Michael Gray from the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say there's a street named after Sonny there in Meadow, Texas.
Should be a boulevard. Are you kidding me? Should be the interstate headed out of Lubbock to Amarillo or someplace out there. And our guest, Sonny Curtis, on 650 AM WSM. Play a little something. You said you thought you might want to do a little Keith Whitley thing for us there. You
sure
want to do Stranger?
I will do this. I'd like to call the name of my co-writer, Ron Heller, good friend and a great songwriter. He and I wrote this together. I'm no stranger to the rain. I'm a friend of thunder, friend, is it any wonder lightning strikes me? I've fought with the devil, got down on his level, but I never gave in, so he gave up on me. I'm no stranger to the rain. I can spot bad weather, and I'm good at finding shelter in a downpour. I've been sacrificed by brothers, crucified by lovers, but through it all, I withstood the pain. I'm no stranger to the rain. When I get that foggy feeling, the one I'm feeling now, if I don't keep my head, I may drown. It's hard to keep believing, I'll even come out even, while the rain beats a hole in the ground. And tonight it's really coming down. I'm no stranger to the rain, but there'll always be tomorrow, and I'll beg, steal, or borrow a little sunshine. And I'll put this cloud behind me, that's how the man designed me, to ride the wind and dance in a hurricane. I'm no stranger to the rain, oh no. I'm no stranger to the rain. Thank you.
The man who wrote it performs it in the green room of the Grand Ole Opry House. How special is that? On Coffee Country and Cody, around the world at WSMonline.com and 650 AM WSM. And I understand, as a little boy out there on the South Plains, not too far from Lubbock, that the Grand Ole Opry and WSM radio was a huge part of your early life, listening to folks like Bill Monroe, Roy Acuff. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. And I was a Bill Monroe and a Bluegrass Boys fan when Lester and Earl was picking with him, and Chubby Wise was playing fiddle, and I was a little old kid, and we listened to it on the network played Red Foley at, I think it came on at 8:30 out there, and then after that, we couldn't get it before that because a lot of stations were still on the air. But once all the stations went off the air, I could go out in the car and turn it on, and it was a 50,000-watt clear channel station. I could listen to it till midnight, man. And then Ernest Tubb Record Shop came on.
And so it goes.
That went on pretty long.
No, but you know what's great? That tradition continues just like that. Every week we're going to follow the Opry with the Midnight Jamboree. And as a matter of fact, the archive is with Boxcar Willie tomorrow night.
Oh, great.
On the Saturday night, Ernest Tubb Midnight Jamboree following the Opry as it has here on 650 AM WSM. That tradition going back to 1925, October 5th, 1925, when we came on the air. Keith Whitley and I'm No Stranger to the Rain. That song seemed so autobiographical for him at the time. And then later, of course, shortly after he passed away. Did you get the song to him directly? Did he come to you and say, hey, man, I'm looking for some songs. I'm cutting. I need something.
Well, actually, I knew Keith, and I was writing for Tree at the time.
Tree Publishing.
And Ron Hellard and I, we hung out together and tried to write a few things, and we did write a few things. But Walter Campbell, actually, who was writing at Tree, pitched that song to Keith, and he liked it. And that's about all I know.
Well, you know, and it's one of those that it was so perfect for him that if somebody told you he wrote it, you'd almost believe that. Like, man, that sounds like a, you know, something Keith Whitley would write about his own life, but yet you were a co-writer on that.
Yeah, and actually that song was out when Keith died, tragically. Mm-hmm. And so
the fella and I fought the law, but the law won. Did he exist? Is he a friend? Was he somebody you knew had gone afoul of the law and you saw what had happened and you decided, you know what, I'm going to be semi-well-behaved and become a songwriter instead of an outlaw?
I was just letting my mind kind of run wild. It was a hot summer afternoon out in West Texas. I was sitting in the living room by myself, and the wind was up, and the sand was blowing. And I was trying to write a song.
You are from West Texas. What he just described is a regular occurrence in the life of a kid who grows up on the plains, huh?
Oh, yeah. But I wrote I Fought the Law. It took about 15 minutes, and there you are.
Wow.
You can tell it didn't take a rocket science to write those lyrics.
Michael Gray with the Country Music Hall of Fame, who also presides over the Poets and Prophets series. Any idea how many people, have you done the research, who have cut? Because Charlie was, funny though it was, but he was just running down a list of it, and the list just kept going and going, finding more and more people who cut I Fought the Law.
Yeah, I know. I know it's dozens and dozens and dozens. Sonny, do you know how many people have recorded it?
I'm afraid I don't.
Yeah.
Now, who was Bobby Fuller, the Bobby Fuller Four?
I think he had a couple of brothers. They lived out in El Paso. The Crickets cut that first in New York in 1959. And he got it off of our records. This is as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him one time. He called me. I lived in L.A., and he was out there recording. And he called and said, man, would you come down to the studio? And I went down and hung out for a little bit, and I met him and his group. And shortly after that, well, he died. And I don't. What was the question?
Now, you got to do like my old Texas college football coach and buddy David McWilliams used to do. He'd get into an answer, and he'd realize he couldn't remember what the question was, and then he'd say, I don't know what the question was, but that is the answer. We'll take a break and come back. Wrap it up with Sonny Curtis and Michael Gray from the green room of the Grand Ole Opry House. It's 9:42.
Coffee, Country, and Cody
on 650 AM WSM
and WSMonline.com.
The moon ain't yellow and the moon ain't blue. It ain't made of cheese and it don't have a thing to do with me and you. Your mind ain't straight and your heart can't break. Tears don't taste like cherry wine, sugar and honeydew. But honey, when you tell me that you love me true, I believe in you and through. Your love makes everything come true. Cause love makes a blue moon turn gold, makes a heartbreak, makes a tear roll. God made love
bet you he knew that he was on to something, so he made you. It's either to the left or a little bit to the right. It's ever so slight. The sun don't move and it can't go down. Never comes up and it don't roll around. In heaven all day, the sun don't roll around. But honey, when you tell me that you love me true, I believe in you and ooh, your love makes everything. Was on to something, so he made you. Love makes the world go round, makes the sun come up and go down. God made love, I bet you he knew that he was on to something, so he made you. God, he was on to something, so he made you.
Well, there's more Sonny Curtis music coming at you. Ricky Skaggs, and he was on to something. He made you on 650 AM WSM. Boy, he did a great job on that song, didn't he?
And he does a great job on everything.
Sonny being recognized in the Poets and Prophets series at the Country Music Hall of Fame. Michael Gray, who hosts that event and coordinates it, ease into the microphone one more time around for folks just joining us and tell them how they can be a part of Sonny's celebration of life and music tomorrow.
Yeah, the Poets and Prophets program with Sonny is at 1:30 tomorrow at the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum in our Ford Theater. It's free with museum admission or free to our museum members. It'll be about 90 minutes. Sonny will perform, and I'll interview him, and afterwards he'll be there to sign autographs.
Thank you so much for coming to see us, sharing your music and stories. Great to see you again.
It's good to see you, man.
Isn't that the most infectious smile? Huh? And into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Maybe you can come back and see us before you guys actually go in. Do you know roughly when the event, what time is it?
It's April 14th, I believe.
April. Okay. Well, we'd love to have you come back and talk about that.
Thank you.
Congratulations, a 2012 inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, already in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. I think you went in 91, didn't you?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Class of 91.
A little too far back for me to remember.
And equal parts poet and prophet tomorrow at the Country Music Hall of Fame. Thank you again to Sonny Curtis. A round of applause for him.
Thank y'all.
And for Michael Gray and all the great folks at the Country Music Hall of Fame who do neat things like the upcoming Legacy of Chet Atkins exhibit that is rolling into the Hall of Fame. And do it a little on the western side there. Give me a little of that Bakersfield action and what's going on in your world.
Yeah, March 23rd, we're opening a new exhibit called The Bakersfield Sound, Buck Owens, Merle Haggard, and California Country. And that's going in the gallery.
Berlin Husky, Jeannie Shepherd.
That's right.
I'll go on and on. You just keep talking.
Right, yeah.
Okay, yes, buddy.
And so it opens March 23rd. On March 24th, we're going to have a panel discussion and a concert featuring a lot of the Bakersfield musicians, including Jeannie Shepherd. She'll be there. We're bringing in Red Simpson from Bakersfield, California.
And Red Simpson had a song one time started out, "Hello, I'm a truck." Yeah. I should have been a songwriter, man. I just should have been. And again, this is when?
The exhibit opens on March 23rd, and then the programs, the panel discussion and concert will be the following day on Saturday, March 24th.
The Bakersfield Sound, and again, the life and times of Chet Atkins as well, coming to the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum. With Sonny Curtis, Michael Gray, Bill Cody, Charlie Mattis, thank you so much. Styles by Jessica Styles, our engineer today. Who else do I need to thank? April is back there. April Hyde from the Grand Ole Opry and Kelly Haynes from Marketing and Promotions at 650 AM WSM. Back in the studio, our resident Lutheran there from the West Koshkonong Lutheran Church in Stoughton, Wisconsin. Norwegian Nightmare, Kevin Anderson, my buddy Charlie Mattis. I'm Bill Cody. Thank you all for being a part of the show. Congratulations to the studio audience winners. You've been a part of a Grand Ole Opry backstage broadcast. Jimmy Carter, after a break.